You know, I struggled when on what I ought to preach over the summer months, because everybody's in and out, and we have to go see people, and it's going to get disrupted, and what we do actually preach on gets disrupted. And if I preach on a certain subject for 4 weeks or 5 weeks, you might only get a couple weeks of that. So I thought, well, we'll just preach through Ephesians. And hopefully by the time we get done with Ephesians, it'll be September again. Seems like a long time, don't it? Now I have to preface that. There's going to be 3 weeks in there somebody else is going to preach, so they're probably not going to preach on Ephesians. But I like the idea of Ephesians, because Ephesians is not like the other gospel letters. Ephesians is not to one group or one person. Because as you read through Ephesians, it doesn't speak directly to people or to problems, per se, that are already in the church. If we read Ephesians closely, we'll find that most of the time we're using Proverbs. Proverbs? No, that's not what I want. That's not the word I want. Pronouns. Yeah, there we go. I knew it started with a P. But anyway, it's us or you or them. It's not to a certain person. And so as we really read this through, we could stop and say, this might be Paul's best letter to act like a church, to act like Christians, to act like what God has called us to. Because if you read it for what it says, he's writing to a group of people that he has not met yet. If you read it closely, you will notice that he has never met them yet. And so we know that if he hasn't really met them yet, he hasn't been there, because we know he stayed in Ephesus for 2 years, or a little over 2 years. So this was written before that. So it's one of the earlier writings. But here again, Paul must be the bad boy of the ministry, because he's in jail. Now, where he's in jail, we aren't quite sure. But it was before he made his second or third missionary visit. So this whole letter is to help those people understand what it really means to be a Christian first. And that's what the first half of Ephesians is going to talk about. It's going to talk about what it is to be Christian, what it is to be a follower of Christ. And then the last three are actually going to talk about how we do that in congregation. And so I think as we do this, we won't get too far behind. It's going to be kind of like a soap opera. If you miss a week, you could read a little in between there and catch right up. You know what I'm saying? I just love soap operas. You can watch them in May and then not watch them till September. And by the time you've watched one episode, you're right back in the middle of it. And you know exactly what's went on, right? You know, the slowest thing in the world to get through. I don't know why they even have them myself, but anyway. So we're going to start with Ephesians, and as we start with Ephesians, we have to realize that Paul starts out here that he's an apostle. It says, "Praise be to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." Oops, I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Let's back up to verse 1. I knew that didn't sound right. "To the saints of Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from the Lord your Father and the from God your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is extending grace and peace to the people of Ephesus. That's something we as Christians ought to do on a regular basis, on a daily basis. That's one of our jobs as Christians. And Gail talked about joy and praising God and having that joy bubbling out of us. It doesn't happen unless we're willing to give away what we have. And that's the beauty of having the love of Christ in our hearts, is that that love comes out to all those around us. Or it's supposed to. If the love of Jesus isn't in your heart, then probably it isn't coming out. If that makes any sense. That's kind of what the Bible tells us. So we can't give away something we don't have. We can try to fake it. We can put on our little mask and we can try to fake it, but we can't. If there's no love and joy coming out of our hearts, then maybe we're not quite right with God at that point in time. And sometimes when we do our inspecting of our hearts, that's one way to find out. If you just feel like you don't have a lot of love and joy to give to the people around you, then ask God for more. He's got lots. He'd love to give it away. He doesn't want to keep it. But we find that he's speaking here, as I said, to people he don't know. And this letter is almost like a textbook. So we're going to look at it that way. But you know, it's like everything else. Many of you have either been on a school field trip of young first, second graders or kindergartners, and you find that you take them somewhere. Let's say you take them to a farm or even the zoo. And sure, they're liking everything they're walking by. But if you let a cat walk down through there in front of them, they'll congregate around that cat. Now, they all have seen cats. They probably all have cats at home. It's probably one of the most ordinary thing we have in our world today is an extra cat wallering around. We've got a few extra thousand of them, I think, right now. But anyway, it's that time of year. But those kids congregate around that cat. Something that they know. And this scripture starts that way. We're all going to read these next few verses and we're going to congregate around one word that has nothing to do with what is really being said, and that's predestination. We're going to look at this and think that of all the arguments and all the discord and all the differences in religions and denominations and all those things about predestination, and miss the point every time. Because most people don't look at predestination as what it really is. God is not speaking of one or two people here. He's not talking about one or three or four people in a group of ten. He's predestination here. He's speaking to what he wanted when he created the world. He's not talking about certain people going certain places and others going to hell. He's not talking about this person going, that one not, and this one going, and that one not. No, predestination here is God foreseeing what he wanted creation to look like. He wanted creation to be his family. Because even in the creation story, we have God coming to the garden late in the afternoon while it was cool to walk with Adam and Eve. And they'd already made their big mistake, right? You remember the story. So God wanted and made this creation so that He could have a relationship with someone other than Himself. A real relationship. One where there was love between one another. One where it wasn't that you had to do this because this is the way I made you. You are going to do this because you have a choice. Predestination. And that's all it really means. Oh, you can add in there anything you want. You can flavor it any way you want. It's kind of like iced tea. I love iced tea. But I love iced tea. I don't like butterscotch iced tea or raspberry iced tea or peach iced tea or sweetened iced tea. I like iced tea. And our religion ought to be the same way. We ought to decide that this right here is the reason that we're Christian. Nothing else. Iced tea. That's all we want. We got to quit making excuses for why we don't want to do what this says. And the beauty of this next few verses as we read through it is that it does give us the reasoning behind the joy and love in our hearts. Because God wanted it that way. God expected it to be that way. And God's going to do everything He can to make it that way. So let's start at verse 3. And I want you to notice as we go through here how often it says, in love He, in accordance with His pleasure and will, in accordance to His riches, God's grace, in Christ, in Him. It's when we are in Christ that we have joy, that we have grace, that we have it abundantly. Praise be to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have every one. All we have to do is ask. It's not like we have to earn a few tokens so we can have this. There's nothing we can do in and of ourselves to bring more grace into our life than is already there for us. Our problem is we don't tend to ask for it. We don't tend to really gravitate to it. We tend to try to do everything on our own. Trust me, I got blisters and cuts and all kinds of stuff all over my hands because I have a problem asking for help. And that's part of our problem as Christians. When life's kicking us, when life's got us down, when the devil's got his heel on our head, so to speak, and kind of making life miserable for us, we don't go to the only one person that can help us. No, we got to figure out our own way to get through this. No, we can go ask. For He chose us in Him. He chose us. Now, when you stop and think about that, we tend to fall back into that false idea of predestination because He chose us. He chose mankind. He didn't choose just you and me. He chose mankind. Paul isn't singling anybody out here to go to heaven and anybody out to go to hell. Because Paul doesn't see it that way. There's a lot of people out there that would like you to believe that he sees it that way. But it's all of us in Him. Those that make a choice. See, that's the only way we can be in Him, is if we choose to be. God's not forcing this on us. We get to joyfully follow Christ. And that's the only way we can. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Christ, Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given to us in the one He loves. Through Christ. Christ died on a cross. That's how we got grace. That's how we got the ability to love God and be a follower, not because we done something. No, we accepted something. Freely given. And there's nothing we can do to change that. We can't do anything to find grace in and of ourselves. That's the beauty of it. Once you're accepted, once you make that choice, all you have to do is continue to make that choice. The Bible tells us to pick up our cross daily. It doesn't tell us that we just make one choice and move on. Because if you believe in predestination the way that other denominations believe in it, you only have to pray the one prayer. You only have to do the one thing. You never have to go back and do anything. You don't even have to be nice to your neighbor because you've made that choice. But the Bible tells us they'll know we are Christians by our love, right? Isn't that really what it says? So if we aren't loving everybody around us, then maybe we haven't been filled with the Spirit. Maybe we aren't allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. Oh, I know, there's some of those people that agitate you somewhat like a washing machine. They make it tough. They are going to make you come out a polished rock. Trust me. But I think that's why they're there. Because as we make that choice, we also make the choice to follow. And it's through the obedience of following, the understanding that God never leaves us alone, knowing that He has decided from the very beginning that He wanted His creation to be His people. Not one or two out of the group, but all people. John 3:16, what does that say? For God so loved the world, not one or two people, everyone. He didn't make 30,000 people to have 10 go to heaven. That wasn't His plan. That's not what He predestined. Now, in the meantime, I have to admit there's a few people that are never going to make it. If you wasn't on the boat with Noah, you didn't make it. Because He destroyed the world because of its attitude. Because of its need to do everything my way. My pleasure. Nothing about God's will. And so as we study this, I want us to remember that we are loved by God. He sent His Son to die on a cross that we could have eternal life, that we could have joy and have it more abundantly. And most of all, that we was going to receive a free gift of grace. Not because we earned it. Not because of anything we did. But because we was willing to choose it. In Him we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Now when I read that, I thought, uh-oh. Why would He tell us that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding when everybody in the world today are saying, how can you read that and understand it? It makes no sense to me. The reason it makes no sense is you're not reading it with the Holy Spirit's guidance and love. God doesn't want us not to know what this really means and says. He wants us to understand it. And we're only going to understand it if we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and through us. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. Or proposed. Purposed. Yeah. In Christ. To be put into effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment. To bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. That is predestination. God wants not only us, not only the followers of Christ, but He wants His entire creation back under one head like it was in Eden, in the garden, when there was just Adam and Eve and a serpent that we really needed a 9mm for. You know, if Eve would have had a snake gun, we wouldn't have this problem. But she didn't. But the problem is, she listened to someone other than the writer of this book. She listened to somebody other than the one that can actually put joy in our heart and love in our heart for those around us. God wanted us to be in communion with Him on a constant, everyday basis from the very beginning. Predestined. Now I lost where I was. Okay, to be put in effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out every conformity with the purpose of His will. See? Predestination only has to do with the will of God. It doesn't have to do with who's going and who's not. It has to do with God's wanting our communion. Have you ever really noticed this scripture? It's like 9 verses, 1 sentence. You got to be kind of careful about that. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. See, Jesus told us, he told his apostles, those that were supposed to be the messengers, he told them that he would send someone to take care of them. That God would send someone to replace Jesus on earth to help us through, to help us understand, to help us know those things. The Holy Spirit is who he sent. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Gail's absolutely right. Life is tough. But as being the children of God, as being adopted into the kingdom, we have a conduit to all the joy, all the love that we can ever not only take in, but give out. And it is only through that conduit coming down to us from God that we can actually do the things that this really talks about. To know God's will, to understand that Bible, to know how to deal with other people, to know how to deal with bad problems. We have to keep that conduit open and freely flowing. Not only up, but down. We have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to tell. We need to learn to not just pray, but communicate with God. If we really want true joy and love in our heart. And that's what he wanted. That's all he ever wanted. He didn't want us to run around and change things and make our religion fit our daily lives. He wanted us to follow him and do his will. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for watching over us. We thank you for helping us to hear from you this day. We just come to you and praise your name, and we just ask that you fill our tanks for joy and love for those around us, for one another, for you. Help us to be overflowing with all the fruits of the Spirit that you might embody upon us. And so this morning, Lord, we just ask that you come and touch our minds, our bodies, our souls. Fill us up, Lord. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.